I see the Premier has now joined us. Alan, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. Sorry, I was on another call.
No problem. Why do you need 14 days to investigate Bonginkosi Madikizela? He said he had a degree. He doesn't. What do you need 14 days for? The facts are clear.
Yeah, I also, you know, it was him and myself, and I thought it would be a good idea to have a proper process. I've asked our team. I mean, I'm sure we can have it done far quicker than that. But I gave him 14 days as a you know, due process, proper due process, but I did suspend him and said, let's allow that process to happen.
And what happens in that process? I mean, it's clear that he does not have a BCom degree. It's equally clear that for more than 10 years, he has created the impression that he has a BCom degree. So what does the process involve?
So that's what we need to find out. You know, initially he said it wasn't so. It had, I'm getting into the detail now, but that's what we need to find out, whether it had, you know, still studying or whatever, and how long it's been there. And, you know, I never used it in our process because he was already a cabinet member. And that's why I think it is only fair that I asked our team to look at it and give him an opportunity to also make his, you know, position clear. And then, of course, then that allows me to apply my mind as well as to what sanction I can, put in place.
I mean, surely that is the only significant decision now, is what sanction. There must be sanction, and the level of that sanction.
Yes.
Because as Rebecca Davis reminded me when I spoke to her a couple of hours ago, she said to him, when did you get your degree? And he gave her the university and the year. So, I mean, he lied, as you pointed out in your statement. Mm. You're also concerned about him apparently lying to a journalist in a telephone call. Okay, well, let's allow due process then to happen, and perhaps we can talk again about the sanction that you choose and why you choose that particular sanction. Any sign of a post-Easter increase in COVID-19 infections?
No, it still seems to be looking pretty good, which I'm really encouraged by. You know, all the indicators are still, you know, looking excellent, whether it's in the wastewater testing or even the positive tests and, you know, the beds in our hospitals. Everything still seems to be on a nice plateau. So that's really encouraging. Yeah, so far so good.
Somebody messaged me yesterday, I didn't have time to follow up on it, but suggesting that some of the sewage water tests were indicating the potential for a rise in cases.
Yeah, so I mean, I think there are 11 now that have got some indication, but it's still very small. And if you track it, there's, you know, we get one that comes up, like we call a bushfire, move in, understand what it is, see if it needs to be dealt with, and yeah, it just, and then they sort of come and go. So you know, then it says to me, hang on a second, it's not increasing, and we're not seeing the numbers as I thought might happen from Easter weekend. Definitely by now we would have seen a marked increase if it was going to be a driver.
Fingers crossed and touch wood. Alan, apparently you were speaking in your weekly digital news conference earlier today about the possibility of the Chinese vaccine. We've got some issues now. I mean, if there's going to continue to be a problem with J&J, then that is the biggest egg in our two-egg basket when it comes to vaccination. Moderna's too expensive. AstraZeneca, we have said no to, because it doesn't seem to be particularly effective against the variant, which is currently most common here. We know that the Health Products Regulatory Authority is looking at the Russian vaccine, but that too apparently shows reduced efficacy against the variant common here. And you mentioned something about the Chinese vaccine, and people were concerned about that, given the fact that it is, its phase three trials indicated only a 50% efficacy.
So, I mean, what we're doing is we're looking to see whether we can procure. And what I do is I have a look at and see what is in the pipeline in the SAHPRA approval process, and then say to our team, well, please go and have a look at these, to have a look at availability, and then they would come back and report to say yes or no. So, I mean, that's the reason why we've looked at those other two, although I also asked them about Moderna, for example, and we haven't had sort of anything to substantially talk about now in the Moderna side. And there's another one, just trying to think what it's called. I forget. It's also one of the trials that are being run in South Africa. It could be Novavax, I think. It's being run in South Africa, which has shown some pretty good results. Now I'm saying to them, go and have a look and engage. Although Moderna and Novavax are small companies, but still, it doesn't matter. We need to be able to be putting them in the mix. So, at the end of the day, if SAHPRA approves the vaccine, I'm able to procure it. And of course, we need to trust that approval process. And they will put all of those tests and ask all of those questions in that process, even if it is, the Sinopharm one.
Premier Alan Windey, thank you.